Meet Soraya Bastian, a powerhouse in betrayal recovery and yoga. Her program takes you from betrayal to personal empowerment through a blend of techniques that's all about breaking free and embracing a resilient life. Join us for a real talk on relationships, infidelity, and Sarah's wisdom on self-love for mental health. Welcome to today's episode. We are lucky to have Soraya Bastian with us today. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. So we are going to touch on a subject that might be a little, you know, triggering for some, but necessary to talk about. And we're going to merge it with the mental health concept, right? Which is infidelity. Can you start by telling us your own story and how you use your own personal experience to create this network of women, of followers, that and like now you're trying to help women going through the same process?
So I was married to a man in 2011, 2012, when I found out and felt, I guess we'll start with a felt, like something was off. I didn't ever mean to really check his phone. It's just like things were displayed to me that I found that kind of felt icky. And anytime I'd bring a conversation to him or try to understand what was going on, I was told I was crazy, that it was all in my head. And kind of just experienced the chaos of uncertainty and I'm going to use the word failure almost. Like I was failing in the marriage. I was failing in communicating with him. I was failing myself. And I went from that kind of that chaotic space to wanting to try therapy and kind of clearing my mind and gaining a different perspective of what was going on. And I remember finally having the guts to call the therapist and they said, yeah, well, let's get you in for an assessment. And I said to them, so is the assessment to see if I'm really crazy? Because I promise you I am. Because that's how crazy I totally felt.
Oh my God.
In this situation. And anyway, I did therapy and I did couples therapy. And I did group therapy with other women who were in my same situation. And I read all the books and I would highlight passages and paragraphs and leave them on the counter of like things that I was trying to do as far as forgive or things that I thought that he maybe needed to read to help him with where he was. And I did all of the things that I thought I should do. And during those exact same years from 2012 to 13 and then even 2014, I was also in school to become a yoga therapist. And so I was learning about the way that the body is impacted by trauma and how mm-hmm. the body carries trauma from experience to experience. And, you know, the body keeps the score. And although I was doing therapy and my therapist was helping me and I love her dearly, I still didn't have clarity. I still didn't have confidence. I still didn't have peace in my own body. I still didn't know how to move forward. I kind of felt like my life was separate. Like I was listening to the podcast and reading the books and, you know, going to my therapy, and then I'd come home and I'd be triggered and I would not know how to talk to him. And I try to talk to him. And I remember my therapist one time like wrote out on a post-it note, like, like key phrases of how I should talk to him. I didn't know how to do that. So I didn't know how to combine my recovery with my mm-hmm. marriage. And so in one particular moment, I found myself in a situation where I was backed against the wall and my then husband's nose was pressed against my nose, not touching me, but just dominating. And he was yelling at me, telling me that I should do something about this, you know. And there was something deep inside of me that said, Soraya, feel your feet on the ground. And so I did. I like can go back there and like even remember my feet and the carpet and the texture of it. And then something inside of me said, Soraya, breathe. Mm-hmm. And so I remember taking just an aware breath.
Okay.
And then something inside of me just said, "Soraya, look." And to my left, there was a hole in the wall where his phone had just been thrown. And to my right, the ottoman had been kicked over, you know, because he had been angry. And I was like, oh, interesting. And that's the very beginning of my using the tools that nobody was telling me, like specifically for infidelity or how to walk through a pornography addiction or affair or anything like that. Like, nobody was teaching me in school specifically for this, but I started applying the tools that I was using to heal the body from trauma in my own life. So in 2014, I had the clarity that I needed after using the tools that I'd started applying. And the clarity was that I had a choice to stay married and stay half of the woman that I was, or to choose my wholeness and leave. Because I tried to initiate and I tried to be who I wanted to be in my relationship, and it wasn't accepted. I had to stay small. Okay. That same, like a month later that I filed for divorce, I got a call from a therapy office. I live here in Utah. Uh-huh. And the woman on the phone was so sweet. She was like, "Soraya, I've heard about you. I know you have this specific training with trauma and yoga." And she was like, "We're struggling with the couples we're working with because the women are coming and learning about their husband's infidelity. And we're walking back to see like how this may be a coping mechanism for the sexual abuse that he may be experienced. But the woman, no matter if they do a therapeutic disclosure or even a polygraph test, are so angry and so hurt and so confused." Yeah. And then she's like, "I know this is a weird situation, but we would love for you to come on and work with this woman." I was like, "This is weird. I just went through this. I know exactly what these women are feeling."
Yeah.
And so I worked with them side by side with certified sex addiction therapists who specialize in EMDR, ART, neurofeedback. We kind of offered everything, CBT, EFT.
Oh my God, you offer everything. And
we had like 12 different clinicians at the time that I was hired on. And so, but the main thing was that the women came to see me first. Okay. Before they went to therapy, they worked through their trauma so that they, when their husband was explaining the whys that they thought that they just needed in order to be able to overcome this, they could actually hear it and decide with clarity what to do with that information.
I think it's so. Yeah, go ahead.
No, here I am. So here I am today.
So back to the here and now. Well, no, I was just going to emphasize how, you know, I recently had a podcast and we discussed trauma and how you are referring to infidelity as trauma. Some people might not see it that way. So what would be the best definition, or how would you describe how infidelity does affect your mental health?
So I know it's like not popular to think of infidelity trauma as PTSD, right? Post-traumatic stress disorder. But when you think about war veterans, and I've worked with war veterans specifically, they carry those moments of trauma with them and they keep reliving them in their mind. Mm-hmm. And then their body is constantly on edge. I worked with one specifically that like he couldn't, you know, be, his back could not be towards the window, and we had to close the blinds because he was afraid of a sniper, right? So the same thing happens with infidelity when the woman or man, right? It happens both ways, finds out about infidelity. They carry that forward. It's kind of like, you know, their days keep going. It's Groundhog's Day, but they keep reliving the same experiences over and over again. And even if they're a month in or 2 years in or 3 decades in, which I've worked with women 3 decades into this, anytime they experience a trigger or, you know, something that feels familiar, or, you know, their husband looks at them a weird way, it's like they're slingshot back to the very beginning again, and they experience the same sensations and the same thought processes and the same fears as if it was happening again today. So there's a hard ability to separate their present with their past, which is trauma. Trauma is carried with you forward. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that like I said, many people may debate, you know, whether it's traumatic or not, but it's more to you. How do you see it? And it does have sometimes in some events the same effects as PTSD. So I can completely agree with that. Now you have people that say sometimes it's justifiable or not. What is your personal opinion on that? Should it always be seen as betrayal of trust, or is it just an action, something that happened?
So you're asking if an affair is ever justifiable?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think so. My own personal opinion is that mm-hmm. it's not justifiable. I believe that affairs, infidelity, addictions even are a response from that person on their own individual level. Like to say, like, you know, you didn't give me enough in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. That's why I went to go cheat on you. That's just shifting blame. And nobody has that much power, you know, to be able to control somebody and make the decisions for them. And so I have found just, you know, in working with the women that I have and even the men that I have that, because I've worked with men who have been unfaithful or who have had a sexual addiction, and so much of it is an inside hole or a gap where they're feeling insecure about themselves, where they are thinking that they need something more in their lives, but they're not growing on a spiritual, emotional, physical level within themselves. And so they're thinking that somebody else is going to fill that for them. And it's just temporary. So mm-hmm. I don't think so. It is a breach of trust within the relationship, but more when I break it down, it's a breach of trust to self. And that's why I work with the individual so completely, because I believe that a relationship broken down is made up of two parts, two whole parts.
Yes,
and it's the concept or the basis of the relationship is going to be based on where they are within themselves on that individual level.
You're explaining how a relationship is two parts, right? Or two different people. What about monogamy? Like, some people may think this is outdated. Does it still hold value in today's society? Like, what is it that you see in your clients? Let's discuss. Because I hear a lot of, you know, different things. Some people are being more open-minded nowadays. So what are you getting in your practice in regards to monogamy?
The women that I work with want to stay married. They may have been offered by their husband the suggestion of having an open marriage. And some of the women that I work with have played with that idea, but it just doesn't settle in them as something that they can accept. You know, monogamy or even like marriage is new if you think about the history of the world, right? Like mm-hmm. for as far as history goes back, men always had concubines or women on the side that they were with. But I think in our day and age, again, like going back to what I just suggested, that it's never justifiable, is I think it always comes back to the individual. And I feel like now we are not in survival mode, right? We can go to the grocery store and get food. We're now out hunting mm-hmm. for our food. Most of us have, you know, a job or somewhere that we can receive money, right? We have a shelter over our head. And so our day-to-day energetic display is not used to just survive. It is that's set up. And so now we get to continue to evolve into our emotions and go deeper into the pleasures of life and enjoying life. And I think that comes to experiencing relationships in a monogamous way, where it's not, again, something that you're seeking outside of yourself to fulfill in another relationship, but that you can explore and learn and expand upon who you are as an individual, and your partner can do the same thing to create a relationship where each of you are continuing to grow and expand and offer that into your marriage, where you never feel like you're missing out on something, where you're not wondering what's on the other side. You know, the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. the grass is greener where you water it, right?
Right, totally. And again, like going back to that, it is within yourself. And if your partner is on the same spiritual, emotional, mature, expansive journey that you're on, then you're fulfilled within yourself, and your partner just enhances that.
You know, when we talk about learning and growing, it's such an important aspect, right? Just growth, always keep growing. And it's hard when you're in this monogamous relationship and everybody maybe has a different growth rate. But that's why communication is important, and, you know, having the same values and beliefs, and overall just sitting down and being honest with one another. Now, when you do cross the path of infidelity, as harsh as it may feel or as bad as it is, do you believe there's an opportunity for self-growth when you go through this experience?
I think that's what it's all about, truly. In a lot of the women that I work with have experienced similar relationships before the one that they're in right now, where they have been cheated on or there has been infidelity. And I truly believe that, I'll say this like from my own experience, I was hit over the head with the same 2x4 over and over and over again. And the lesson that I was continually being asked to learn was to hold myself with reverence and respect, to honor myself, to honor my values, to live in such a way that I was aligned with who I thought I was, to actually have that match. And because I was shown and invited to learn this lesson over and over again, I stopped pointing my fingers at, I just picked the wrong man, or he just didn't love me the way I wanted to, or he is a narcissist and that's why. I learned about myself and I grew and I expanded. And now the lessons that I'm taught in my life are show me that I am where I need to be. They almost solidify the growth that I've done within myself. So I truly believe that, again, like, no, you didn't ask for this. No, like, I didn't ask to be cheated. I was never unfaithful. I was a good wife. I did what I needed to in the bedroom. I did what I needed to in the kitchen. I did what I needed to around the house. I kept care of the kids. Like, I was a good wife. And I also closed my mouth. And I also looked the other way. And I also disregarded the uncomfortable sensations that my body was telling me when something was off. And I also believed his words over my own intuition. Okay. And that's where I was able to do the work to step into that and trust myself over anybody and be that confident to not allow anything that doesn't hold the values that I do into my life. Because I had enough love for myself. And if they wanted to love me, great. And if not, that's okay.
Do you believe, you know, you chose growth, you made the decision that you had to leave in order to continue your personal growth. But at a certain point, you were working at it, the infidelity. And you have clients that are working through it, right? Some may say that this is not going to work. Or this may set a bad example. Do you believe there is full recovery from infidelity in a partnership?
I do. I think that I don't know if they're old wives' tales or the age-old things that you'll never forget, you'll always remember. You know, there is that scar that is there, right? It's a wound that you've had to heal. And just like the scars that I have on my physical body, it's a scar that I do have inside. I've worked with women who have divorced their husbands and remarried and carried with them the same trauma to where their new husband, who hasn't been unfaithful, has had to prove himself trustworthy by her checking his phone and her fearing that he's out cheating. Those symptoms are the symptoms of emotional trauma, the hypervigilance, the uncertainty, the distrust, the anxiety, the fear, the depression. All of those are carried with you in your body when the wound is still there. And so I believe that you can totally overcome it to where you won't have to think about the other woman. That you won't wonder who he's talking to and have to look at his phone and see if he has the woman has a different contact under a man's name so that he can talk to her, right? Which happens. But like with that fear, and I experienced it myself, like I was afraid to get close to somebody. I just automatically deemed everybody a sex addict. That, you know, when my husband now and I got together, like I experienced triggers, and it wasn't that I hadn't been working on my healing, but I was in a new situation, and those triggers, those triggers were information for me to say, oh, I still have healing to do. Oh, there's still something there. That's not his job to walk on eggshells. For me, that's a self exploration for me to walk through. And that's just information. But to be even to be able to decipher that and not say, oh, this is the same as it was back then, going back to that present versus past, and being able to trust yourself and walk into a relationship, whether it's with your current husband or whether it's somebody new, you can create a whole new relationship. You can create from the ground up a foundation that's not made from cement a quicksand where you sink, but where you can really cement a strong, solid foundation to rebuild your marriage on.
Now, when we talk about infidelity, and I don't want to make anybody skeptical, but are there any, I don't want to say signs, but are there any factors that influence in the likelihood that infidelity will be present in your relationship? For example, some people may argue that financial stress will have an impact on that. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so you're saying like, can stress or something that we can like perceive or maybe
environmental
fortune
factors.
Tell that infidelity
yeah, like
be
I said,
pleasant.
No, you know, not one person is the same person or situation or partnership, but use that example. Financial stress. Is there a likelihood that will increase the chances of infidelity?
You know, what's interesting is that most of the clients that I work with, I can't say most, I work with women from all over the financial board, but I have had clients who are very well-to-do, whose husbands are politicians or even very well-known surgeons in their area. Mm-hmm. Where it's not a stressful situation, more in those situations, it's egotistical, if you will. Like they start to value themselves with the things that they can surround themselves with. So I think that it could be stressful, you know, when there's a young couple who gets married and they're both going to school and then they have a child, and the stress of having to take care of that, again, can lead to maybe external validation or security, a false sense of security. Or if they're well-to-do, anything in between there can add to that. And I don't think anybody is immune to it. I really don't think anybody is immune to infidelity. I feel like in our day, it's so easy to come by with social media, which is why the phone is such a huge trigger for most people. Because, you know, I had a client who used to say, like, just stare at her husband's Instagram all day to see what photos he liked of what girls, right? Like,
oh, wow.
That was
a lot of time.
Her whole life was a lot. I mean, her life was wasted away, right? So I don't think that anybody is immune to it. And I think, again, well, I'll go back to what I stated earlier, in that it is a lack of something within yourself. So a lack of confidence to support your young family, or for the ones who maybe are well-to-do, like they're seeking something outside of themselves to fill something that they're missing within, and they're leaning on those external sources to provide that for them, which is false.
Yeah,
there's nothing outside. There's no amount of money that can or cannot exclude you from the internal growth that is called for throughout your entire life.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, it's always, it won't happen to me thing. And then it happens to you and you're like, oh, wait. Because there's a lot of taboo where, you know, if somebody was unfaithful to you, then you're stupid or you're dumb or you should have known better. And, you know, that's a whole other subject when we talk about stigma and talking about it, right? You always think you're going to be that 1%, it's not going to happen to you. So I completely agree with that statement. Now, when couples hit this difficult road with infidelity and affects their mental health, how do you suggest they navigate the complexity of all types of emotions that comes with forgiving, or maybe one partner forgives and the other one doesn't? How can they navigate that more easily?
I think I'll go through the steps that I suggest. And then I think from there is when you can step into your relationship. So the first step would be to restore peace. And what that looks like is releasing that emotional trauma, is healing the wound of trauma, right? So I always say his name incorrectly, Gabor Mate, speaks of trauma as a wound that can be healed. Now you can't go back and redo the past, but the wound that you experience from that moment can be healed. And so what that, like restoring peace is ridding yourself of healing the wound so that you can remove the chaos of the rumination, of the what if factors that fly through your mind, of the visual presentation of every single image that you saw, or even the text message that you read over and over, or the emails. It clears you from the the desire to check his phone, the desire to check up on him to see where he is on his recovery, to see what he's doing to assure you that you're going to be okay, because that peace is something that is inside of you, right? It clears you from that that desire to talk about it over and over and over and over again. Yes. Okay. And so when you can restore peace by releasing and healing that emotional trauma, then you can begin to step into your confidence, because after infidelity, you feel so lost. A lot of the women that I work with were young when they got married. They had kids right away. So they were a wife, they were a mother, you know, they are somebody that is outside of them. And there is a desire to find out who you are after infidelity. It's like an invitation to do so. But the problem is that when they're operating under the strings of trauma, the heaviness of trauma, their desire to find themselves is based on the other woman, on their past, thinking, well, who I was in the past must not have been good enough. And so now I need to try to operate in a place where maybe he'll choose me. And so they try to mold themselves into who they think they need to be in order to be chosen, in order to be loved. Mm-hmm. And through that, all of that, you lose yourself completely, right? Yeah. Plus, you're operating in a place of fear and anxiety and hypervigilance. And yeah, that's not who you are either.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So step one is restore peace, and step two would be to rebuild confidence. And that has nothing to do with your husband. That is where you can step into that alignment, where your beliefs and your values are represented in the way that you act and you behave. And you don't allow for anything besides that or something greater to even enter into your field. Yeah. And then step three would be to return to love and return to life, because we're living that groundhog day over and over and over again. And as you do this work behind those walls of fear that you've built up, those walls will slowly begin to crumble, because you're going to realize you don't need those walls to protect you anymore, because you have yourself again. And life, like the fear and this trauma is suffocating. Like truly suffocating, to where you can't live. And so when those walls crumble, it's like fresh air can start to finally move through. You can see the sunshine for the beauty that it is. Yeah. You can hear your children laugh, and you can walk into your life again. And by operating on this level of respect and reverence for yourself and holding yourself to that standard, regardless of what he's doing, that is how you're going to be able to have the clarity that you need to move forward in your relationship towards him or away from him. That has nothing to do with him. Yeah. It has everything to do with you. And look, I'll back into that just gently. If you are operating in a place of hypervigilance and anxiety and depression and second guessing and distrust and uncertainty, that is the relationship you're going to get.
Yeah.
When you do this inner work and you come to that whole place, that is the relationship you are available for.
And what's crazy or interesting to me is that, you know, when somebody is unfaithful to you, you almost want to make them do the work, or it's your fault, or why am I going to therapy? You're the one that has to go to therapy. But then it's almost like you have to recognize you played a role. Doesn't mean that role was you're a bad person or you did anything, but whether it is you allowed it or played dumb or ignored it or whatever it is, it's interesting that your message is it's about you and your inner self-worth. It's your healing too. And it doesn't matter what he's doing in order to heal the relationship for the future. You got to heal yourself. It's almost like you have to be reborn this whole new person, right? And this whole new person, it should not be based on your partner. It should be based on what you want to do and your life goals.
That's right. Yeah. One of my current clients, she just barely joined us inside of Beyond Breath. Her husband has kept a secret of pornography addiction for their entire marriage, 16-year marriage. And while he did his recovery, she did the partner to that. And again, like, you know, some people have their methods, but what the method that they offered her was that she needed to create a list of boundaries that had consequences that followed. So she wants to see his phone, you know, X amount of times a week. And if he won't give it to her, then she will not be emotionally available, right? Okay. And so her own happiness, her own peace, her own even sense of safety is based on whether or not he wants to give his phone to her or not.
Yeah.
But he has done, he's working on his recovery. He's truly trying to do that. And he doesn't want to be mothered by his wife. And so he gave her his phone for the first, they're in this 8 months. He gave her his phone for the first like 6 months, whenever she wanted to, and nothing was on there, but she still didn't trust it. And so now he's at a point where like, I don't want to show you my phone. Like, I don't want to live in this relationship anymore. I want something more. And that's where he actually contacted me and he's like, my wife needs your help because she's stuck behind these walls of boundaries of that it's my responsibility and I'm doing everything I can. And he's carrying his own recovery and he's trying to carry hers and he's failing, not for lack of trying, but because she is not responsible for her own emotional healing.
Okay.
It's impossible for him to do that for her.
Completely agree on that. And I feel like that comes with every sort of trauma, right? Like you mentioned, what happened to you is a wound, so you have to take care of it. It's not about the other person or who did it. Because those things, those things cannot be changed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, how can a couple begin to restore trust? Let's leave it at that. Like, what are your suggestions for those that, you know, are going through this whole process?
Trust is, obviously there's no relationship without trust, right? The thing is that like the example I just gave with the boundaries, there's so much responsibility on him complying to the checklist of things that's supposed to rebuild trust. So when I work with rebuilding trust, it has nothing to do with him. Again, it has everything to do with yourself.
Okay.
And when your mind and your brain and your nervous system and your body are operating in the status of the fight or flight, the sympathetic nervous system, nothing feels safe, right? Like I use the example of like you're at dinner and he gets a ping on his phone and you're triggered.
Oh, yes.
And all of the sensations and the emotions, it's her, right? Your mind is going wild. You go quiet. You go stiff. You go rigid, right? So you don't feel safe there. And also you have no idea who was on the other side of that text message, but you're just assuming it's her and operating as if it is. Okay. Yeah. Then you find a pair of underwear in the back of his car. And the same exact things happen. Your mind goes wild. You go quiet. Your body goes stiff and rigid. And the same exact response is happening, where that one's a little bit more in your face and the other one is assumptive. But because the body, but your body is operating on the same level plane, even if she has evidence, she's stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same reaction to where she feels crazy. You feel crazy. One of my clients like used to gather all the evidence that she possibly could and display it. Like print out the emails, print out the text messages, print out the images, like
underwear.
Yes, right. And then print it all out, right? And
okay.
And she was waiting for him to admit. And he wouldn't. He didn't ever admit. And she believed him. So what she did was she went back and went looking for more evidence, even though all the evidence was in front of her face.
Yeah.
So when we're thinking about trust, like she doesn't even trust herself.
Got it.
To where regardless of evidence
with
or
her
proof
own judgment,
or they're all, it's, yeah, they can't because they just feel crazy no matter what. And so the work of rebuilding that trust is this sounds hokey pokey and also so cliche these days, is resetting the nervous system to where she's going to be operating from a place of balance and homeostasis, where her normal level of operation is like, is peace, is calm, to where when she does experience a trigger, because she will,
yeah,
she will be able to process through that and come back down to the level where she can decide for herself, gotcha, this is old, I'm okay,
yeah,
and continue to move forward in her life, or gotcha, I'm not safe and I need to make different decisions for my life. And she's trusting her own judgment, mm-hmm, to be able to move forward in her life. Again, it has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example. I couldn't have said it better, because it's true. You know, like I said, you put a lot of weight on finding the facts or the evidence, but your gut feeling knows, or you already saw the evidence. It's almost like they're not going to accept it. I mean, some people may, but the majority won't accept it, right? So we think by putting evidence in front of them, then that's going to make them confess. And unfortunately, some don't. So at that point, yes, you have to have the self-confidence, yeah, to walk away. And, you know, the examples that you use with, like, the messages and the Instagram, do you feel that nowadays social media has a big impact on infidelity? Or it's always been there, it's just more in front of your face nowadays than before?
I'm sure it's always been there, right? Yeah. I mean, like I said, the history of relationships will tell you that infidelity has always been there. I think it's in your face, though. I mean, I have a social media following, and I can't tell you how many pickups I get in my own direct messages from men. And I'm just like, do you not get it? But like, it's so easy, yeah, to come by. And I think especially with the virtual world, like for example, my husband works from home. He, the whole entire office is a virtual office. And I think it's really, well, I guess it's two part, right? Because it's so easy to create an emotional relationship with somebody that you're not even with.
Mm-hmm.
To connect to them, to bond with them, right? And then you think about the workplace, where also a lot of the women that I work with, husbands, are having an affair or have had an affair with a woman, yeah, in the workplace. Again, they're spending so many hours there with the same people and create different relationships that I do feel like it's very in your face, but especially social media, yeah, just that. And because those relationships can be carried home from work through text messages or through social media, that they can continue to keep that secret.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the communication nowadays is just easier. Now, something that's, you know, it's always a subject of debate, at least in my social group, is giving a like or commenting on a girl's or boy's picture considered cheating? You're laughing because I'm sure you've heard this before. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know that I have Like, I don't know if there is a right or wrong way of that. Like, my whole intention would be like, what is your intention?
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeking for
attention?
Are you seeking for, yeah, right? Like, are you wanting her to see you? Are you wanting her to notice you? And again, like, I can't determine that. Like, if my husband were to go, like, somebody's picture and was doing it for an ulterior motive of something more, mm-hmm. I wouldn't need to see the like. I don't even know. I don't ever check my husband's social media, but like, I would be able to feel it in my relationship. I would be able to feel it in the way that we interact with each other because something would be off. And this is where my definition of cheating comes to play, is that it's stealing energy that's been, he's committed to give me the energy of that love, of that attention, of that relationship,
yeah,
right? And so there's an allotted amount, if you will, of energy in your own life from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep at night where I can give compliments and I can serve and I can do all the love languages that there are, right? Like, give compliments and write a love note, whatever, right? All those things that you can do. Well, if he is using his energy to give some of that to another woman, I'll feel it.
Yeah.
And there's a natural inclination of like, I feel something's off, let me go find it. But I'm to the point where like, I don't need evidence.
Yeah.
Like, if something feels off, I trust my gut and I can walk into that and then establish like if I'll be close to you or if I need to remove myself, not out of like putting a wall up or mm-hmm. protecting, but let you're not emotionally safe for me right now.
Yeah.
And so I mean, my safety is my responsibility. And so I'll take myself to that. So when it comes to likes or comments again, like, so again, like, a woman might be like, you're not allowed to have any relationship with any other woman. But like, I have guys like my stuff. And if their wife saw that, maybe they'd be jealous, but maybe I'm relating to him. Right. And maybe it's speaking to him. And so he's liking it. Right. So you never know. But what we can back into is you'll feel that energetic cheating. And if you are in a place where you're alive, awake, trusting yourself, whole, working on yourself and your relationship, you'll be able to feel it.
Yeah.
And then, you can look at him and say, all right, what's missing? What are you seeking? And what do you need to do within yourself to make that whole? Because that happens, like I'm not proving that or saying that it's okay, but I do think that it's really easy to find yourself there. And, in our relationship and with my current husband, like, we've had conversations like that, like, okay, what's going on? Because if you're seeking for this outside of you, then you need to look inside here.
Yeah,
and I'm going to give you that time and that space to be able to decide that for yourself, what you want, because this is the relationship I want. And if you're up on board for that, let's do it. And if this isn't what you're looking for and you're seeking for those temporary things, cool.
Then that's fine.
I don't want to be part of it.
Exactly. I think it comes down to a choice, right? There are ways to avoid temptation or not participate or not putting yourself in certain situations and scenarios that might lead to infidelity. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings, right? We're all animals, sexual beings. So temptation is always going to be there. What differentiates us from the animals is our magical brain, right? So we have the choice to go forward with these things or not. And, like you mentioned, if you're not in it the same way for the commitment long-term and you're just looking for temporary rewards, then that's fine, but just let me know. Mm-hmm. Communication.
Or don't let me know. Right? Because there's that phrase, like, let me know what you want. Like, I hear that all the time, where the ball's in his court.
True.
To let me know what you're going to choose. And then they put their life on the sidelines of life, waiting for him to choose. Like, I'm not in the place where, like, let me know. It's more like, I'm okay letting you have that time to explore what it is that you want. And I'm okay. Like, I don't need you. I want you. And also, if you're not in a place where you want me and you're not in need of me or somebody else need, then let's do this thing. And if not, I'll feel it, because you're my energy and my life. Like, I don't want to keep giving energy to a bucket with a hole in it to somebody else, right? Like, I want to give it. And my advice would be to care for it, right? Your mind and the way that it is impacted by the trauma, by the emotional trauma, it tells your brain what to do, right? Your brain is a piece of plastic, right? Neuroplasticity. And your brain simply obeys what your mind is telling it to do. And then your brain sends signals through your nervous system, which is like the mailman, to your body. And when your emotional well-being is again, like, under, I just think of like a puppeteer, like trauma is in control and you are just operating from it. Your life is chaos. You are chaos. And because you're chaos, so is your life. So your emotional well-being is so important, because it is not just your mind you're working with. You're working with your mind and your body. And your body, my belief is, the sacred of your body is that it is the home of your spirit. And so many women, and I felt it too, come and say, like, I just feel like I'm dying inside. And that is because your body is so uncomfortable. Your body is your home. And it's so uncomfortable to be here because of the way that you're operating. And so that emotional well-being, caring for that, healing the trauma, it sets you up for and gives you even the cornerstone to step into your healing with your husband, to step into the healing in your life.
Love it. Is there maybe an example that you can give to someone, for example, if they want to start practicing mindfulness, to self-regulate, or, you know, to start healing? What would you tell your client? I don't know, what's an activity or something that they could do to self-regulate on their own at home?
So the very first thing that I tell my clients is get as far away from your head as you possibly can.
Easier said than done.
Right. Easier said than done. But what a lot of them do is fight mind with mind. So I talk about, like, again, like what I work with my clients is getting off the trauma highway that they're living on. And so when they recognize, so it requires awareness. So when they recognize that they're in that chaotic space, they're taking the exit and going straight down to their feet. And I always ask the question, where are your feet? Where are your feet? Where are your feet? Because it pulls them out of their head and it gets them into their body and into, that's the very baseline of reality of today, of where you are in this moment. And so that's the first thing that, and that's the hardest thing, right? It, even when they're working with me, like, and I'll ask them like what their goal is, and they'll say some other tips and tools that I've given them, like other tangible tools that I've offered. They always forget about the feet because it's the hardest place to be. But your feet carry you into life. And so just that first discovery of where are my feet? Same thing. That's the exact same thing that happened to me. Soraya, where are your feet? And that's where I went. Oh. And that's what started waking me up to my reality.
Yeah.
So that's what I would offer. Where are your feet?
Start with your feet. As you're saying that, I'm like, where are my feet? Okay. My grounded. Grounding techniques. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a wonderful conversation. I feel, at least I felt, I could relate a lot, and in regards to myself and some clients that I've had. So I hope we can help our audience at least a little bit, give a little bit of insight. Okay. And if you can wrap all of this in one sentence, I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you should definitely work on your own healing, whether you went through infidelity, whether you want to forgive, forget, or neither. Just focus on yourself, right?
Yeah. Yep, 1,000%. You have the power to create the life that you want. Like, this is all about your empowerment, not in a selfish way, but in a way that is required for you to continue to thrive in life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Guys, if you liked what we discuss, if you have any insight, please leave us a comment and don't forget to subscribe to our channel. We have weekly episodes, so stay tuned. See you guys next week.